Welcome to the IT Rockstars podcast. Our mission is to transform the way you grow your technology business.
Mr. Miller, how are you?
Not bad. How's it going?
All right. You in the ballpark?
I am. It's Friday.
Fun day Friday.
Yeah.
What you been up? My hair is well suited for that room, isn't it? I'm in a two-phase process. So apologies. But I could actually pass for Bozo the Clown to jump in the beans and the balls and the bouncy pit.
Okay. Are you getting like your hair colored? Is that what's going on?
Yes. Yeah. So oh, cool. It's a two-phase approach.
Cool. I like it.
What you been up to?
This and that. Changing business model. Oh. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Busy.
Tell me.
So we've been focused on, I say we, me, IT Rockstar has been focused on some membership model. And it was all about the content that we provided the marketplace, but the value of content has dropped considerably. So we're doing something, a completely new concept.
It's the hosting and the SEO stuff.
No, nothing to do with that. So that's changed as well over the last 6 months. I don't want to go into that.
everyone
is battling algorithms of one way or another. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, how do we bring it back to a human level? How do we not involve AI and ChatGPT and algorithms? So bringing it back to reality to some extent.
And what's the secret behind it then to bring it back to reality?
Just human connection more than anything else and having fun. So hence background.
Hence the ballpark.
Yes. Having fun. So I asked the question on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, tell me how you're having fun in your business. And no one answered me.
Really? I can't even recall seeing it, Scott.
Well, that's the thing. You're battling the algorithm. So
yeah. Was it just plain text or did it have an image on it?
I think it had an image. So
then.
So that's a reflection of the marketplace. It's like, how much fun are people having in their business, you know? So I think it's because I've been doing the same thing for 5 years. I'm like, I need a change. I need to make it fun again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you hear similar things in the work that you do.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But mine's always about fun anyway, because how can interrogation not be fun?
How can what, sorry?
Interrogation.
Is that what you do?
No, but I was thinking about it as I drove back from a client site the other day. I was driving back and I was thinking to myself, it was warm, it was sunny, it was a beautiful day for driving. It was a long distance. I was like, do you know, I've got the best job ever. I get paid to interrogate people.
So you just ask questions.
Ask questions, tons of questions, and make people think. And the thing is, though, is once you start that what if kind of thinking, you can get some really good things going from it.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. So it's good fun. It's good fun. Yeah.
And you still get, because you're asking lots of questions, you've almost got this authority. It's almost like a doctor, because that's what a doctor does, don't they? They just they ask lots of questions.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't sound as much fun. A doctor versus some kind of spy agency doesn't sound as much fun, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, let's not go there to how it's the imagination of goes on in Michelle Coombs' head is not a good topic to have.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to chat about?
I think we were just chatting the breeze, weren't we, and seeing what was going on. Although, okay. I do have something I want to share with you, actually. One of the things that I've been working on since, one of my projects this year.
Just to let you know, I am recording this. Sorry, I am recording this, so just to let you know.
That's fine. I've spotted the red dot when I came in, it did say. So I've been working on a project this year for, you reminded me to remind my P's and Q's. Is that what it is, Scott?
Well, if there's any sensitive information, I don't want you giving away anything, you know.
Ah, that's fine. I only share what's documented because of the IP that's behind it all anyway.
Oh, wow.
I don't want people stealing my ideas.
So
I've been working on a platform this year for continual service improvement planning, service maturity, feedback, complaints, and all of that kind of service stuff, all integrating to give like a single point, single source of truth for all improvement activities. I've been working on that this year, which is going very well.
So a platform, have you ever built a platform before?
Never. Never in my life. I'm not a software developer. My background's infrastructure, remember. So I was there when it was like NT4 days, and Exchange 5.5. So building a software platform.
You're showing your age here, Michelle.
I know. I am old. You should know this. hence the orange hair. But yeah, so infrastructure all the time. So now moving to software development alongside. It's scalable that way, you see. Okay. All of the stuff that I do, I'd love to be able to scale it to help more people, because you know that I've got this crazy goal. And if I'm working with people one-on-one, I'm very limited. But if I can scale it and productize what's in my brain, I can help more people. So that's what I decided to do.
So what's your goal? I don't think I'm aware of it, or I've just dropped it my head.
Helping 350,000 tech people by the end of 2032.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty precise goal.
Well, they have to be, don't they, really? So, yeah, that's our point. It's specific.
What led you to 320,000?
In what? Sorry.
Why is it 320,000?
Sorry, 350,000. Well,
okay.
That was a New Year's Eve thing, right? I have Twixmas for reviewing when my business is gone and what my goals are for the next year. And 2022, I thought, right, how am I going to get a good goal that will keep me going and sustain me for the next 10 years or so? So I've got various bits and pieces on the go. I was like, right, how many people could I help, and how many people can they help? And if I did this, how could it help? So I came up with this number of 350,000. Somewhere I've got, there is the math behind it. And if I'd have known, you'd have asked this, I'd have found it out. So, you know, those flip chart easel things that you have, I've got one of those. So I was working out my numbers on one of those pads of papers with a marker pen. And I got it. So I thought, okay, I can 10x this. I thought, okay, because like 35,000 interest me. I thought, oh, yeah, that's not going to help. I did 3,000 last year. So I thought, well, I can't say 3,000. 3,000 is okay. 35,000, it's not really exciting. And then I thought, well, looking at this number, if I look at how the compound effect of it all and all the rest of it, I thought, 350,000, that's exciting. I've got no idea how I'm going to do it, picking 350,000.
So, and that's over a 10-year period.
Over a 10-year period. So even if I do like 3,000 a year, 5-minute favours, that's 30,000. And I thought, but how can I scale that? And then obviously when I had the app idea, I thought, that will help me scale to the 350,000.
So is the app, you said it's a platform, is it an app on a device?
No, it's going to be a
desktop,
browser screen, because it'll have dashboards, it's going to have action plans, it's going to have all sorts in there. It's going to be very fascinating.
So there's, like, I'm kind of aware of what you do, interrogate people.
I love that.
I had someone else on the show two years ago. She works for a company called Life Cycle Insights, and they do things like, it's like customer success and QBRs for MSPs. Is it similar to that? I think they have a platform.
No, a little different. So if you think about continual service improvement, it's about people, process, technology. You know that I'm always banging on the drum about it also needs to include leadership to make sure that you've got the vision and the drive to get to where you're going, and also customer. So I include those two pillars in that.
Okay. It's more encompassing.
Yeah. And it will cover everything from like high level, from your leadership, mission, vision, values, all the way down to like ITIL and ISO 20000 kind of audits on your service teams. So it's going to be really, really in depth for specific, right down from high vision kind of stuff down into the detail of individual processes. Okay. But then that's just the one module of it. Then I'm always about service improvement, right? So if you consider that service improvement plans are put in place when an MSP has a red flag customer or somebody that's not quite happy, and they'll put in place a plan to get them to where they are happy. They'll be able to put their service improvement plans for their customers in this platform as well, instead of having tons of spreadsheets. And where there's a trend, it will analyze that and then roll that up into the continual service improvement plan. So it's not just for that one customer, but for all. So yeah, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not integration, because that would be later on. I want it to integrate into PSA's kind of tools. Not right now, but later on it will come into PSAs, and also pull the metrics from that as well as it pulls the KPIs. But there's a lot of like interaction between the different modules.
That'll do for now.
It's a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. So like a red flag customer, I've never heard that term before. Like everyone knows what it is. I'm actually a red flag customer at the moment to an MSP and they're not aware of it.
Give him away. You've given away for the red flag. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, what type of things should an MSP be doing to, like, turn that red flag into another colored flag? Like, what,
well,
like, you mentioned, like, a program.
Improvement. So it's getting.
It just, like, goes over my head, that stuff.
Right. So if you're.
But I just want, like, give me a specific example. Like, what are the steps?
The steps I'd take if I had a red flag customer is the first thing I'd do is be picking up the phone as like a service desk manager or a chief operating officer, picking up that phone, understanding all of the grumbles, documenting absolutely everything. And then I'd be working out a remediation plan, the due dates, who's going to look after it, how I'm going to measure it internally, how I'm going to report it back to the customer. And I'd track that on a progress call once a week and with an vision to turn that red flag customer to a nice green happy customer. I'm surprised you haven't heard of red flag customers.
I know what they are. It's pretty obvious what they are. I've had them myself, and I am one just now to an MSP. But I've never like worked for an MSP or heard of it as like, oh, it's like a part of the process that you have.
When you've got an unhappy customer, it's
just because of my ignorance.
Customer,
yeah,
effectively,
it is.
Yeah, and it's how you manage it, but it's being proactive about it.
So who's like, who should like, you know, you mentioned that the service desk manager, or you know, but I'm thinking, is it the service desk manager? Is it like the account manager? Who's ideal to sort of kick off the whole process and manage it?
For me, it depends on the organisation, really, and the roles and responsibilities of those roles.
Okay.
Your service desk manager is going to be best placed because they're managing the service teams and managing those interactions with the customer, with the customer. I'm just thinking, if you've got a service desk manager that isn't interacting with customers, I'd be a bit worried. So I'd absolutely expect them to know exactly how all the customers are feeling. I'd expect them to be involved in any kind of feedback collection and all of that kind of thing. The same with service delivery reviews, because you know an account manager often has a commercial hat on, shall we say, so they are figure based. So if they go into a service delivery or a quarterly business review or a technical business review, they're on about the upsell. They don't talk very often about the service, which is why I like to see account managers and service desk managers and service delivery managers working hand in hand to make sure that you bring that service element in.
Okay. All right. I get it now. So this is the next question. And this comes down to me being a red flag customer. There's obviously an awareness of the red flag customers. Should MSPs be doing something to discover being aware of that, or is it just something that pops up like when there's like a fire and they have to like deal with an unhappy customer? I haven't had the chance to actually go and give them a piece of my mind.
This is what I'm on about. You know, when we talk about these reviews, and if you were to bring in like some form of service element, it's about collating that feedback. So at the end, it's like making sure that they're happy with the service that you've been, that's being delivered. So what are we doing well? What can we do better? And as soon as you've got that information, as soon as somebody says, well, actually, this could be done better, that instead of being needs to be kept with, instead of being kept with the account manager, it needs to feed its way back to service desk managers, chief operator officers, chief execs, whoever is in charge, so that they can go, actually, let's see what's going on, find the root cause and address it.
So when should I'm going to guess it's like a survey or something that goes out, or is it just something that happens in the account management meetings? Like, when's the ideal?
There's multiple ways. So of course you've got like your after ticket, after project kind of feedback collection, whether you do NPS or CSAT and collect that information. But at the end of every meeting, so if you've got an account management review, it takes a couple of minutes, just pop it on the end.
Okay.
Yeah, every meeting, really. What's going well? What could we do better? And actively embrace that feedback kind of mechanism. And if you only have annual reviews, so some smaller MSPs will only have an annual review to make sure that they've got their licensing counts right, or if there's any project they've got coming up in the next year.
Contract renewal.
That's it, contract renewals. Add in a bit about service, but send it out 6 monthly or quarterly just to get that feel of how the customer is feeling. Because if you get to contract renewal and you're asking for feedback, then you're too late because they could already have gone, do you know what? These people don't care about us. They only come to us when they want our money. Whereas if you keep in touch with them quarterly or 6 monthly, they're going to feel much more cared for.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see that. I saw a little nod then, Scott. So let's have a little bit about the experience that you've been facing. How often do they get in touch with you and just see how you feel generally about the service?
I'm in two minds, and I'm thinking to myself, I really hope they're listening, but then again, I really hope they're not, because they probably aren't anyway. They're too busy. I think that's their issue. That type of question is not really asked. So, you know, we do have quarterly account meetings. And it's just not asked.
This is perfect. So whether your MSP is listening or if it isn't,
we've got a good relationship. That's the thing. Like, I used to work with these guys, so it's like, which makes it even more difficult.
It should be even easier to say to them, do you know what, guys? I think you're missing a trick. Let me point you in the direction of this podcast.
I think I'm planning of switching MSP. That's what I feel like saying at this point.
I don't want
to say that to them.
Yeah. Now, if you imagine that you'd have had quarterly check-ins to see how things
were
going.
We do have quarterly check-ins. But...
Or if they'd have asked you for your feedback and dealt with it in a timely manner. So when this issue first arose, before getting to a complaint section, if you'd have had the choice to or the chance to voice this grumbling, because it would only have been a grumbling back in the day when it first happened. How do you think, if it had been dealt with, how do you think you'd be feeling now?
I'd be fine. This is fairly recent. Like, they've been doing work for us for a while now. And we had a piece of project work. We don't actually do a lot of project work with them at all. And, like, they're like, okay, we're going to come in this date. We put it in the planner. And they didn't come in on that date. And I waited the afternoon. And I was like, are you guys, I guess you guys forgot. We'll see you next Wednesday. So that was like, that really started things off here.
Beated expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I knew for a fact, if I'd like reminded them like at 10 o'clock in the morning, I thought you guys were coming in. And you'd like, oh yeah, we're just coming in. We're a little bit late. But I was like, I'm going to wait till the afternoon before I remind them to see if they've messed up. And they had. So that was just, that's one in a series of things that are now happening, because this is actually an ongoing issue. So anyway, not the place to go into this detail.
No, but if that scenario would have happened and then you said there was a series, as soon as there was like two or three, because there are all these issues, if you were set internal to the MSP, I don't know the structure, so I'm going to make one up. If you've got like a CEO, service desk manager, account managers, and service desk team leaders and your staff, right? once a month is that the internal teams are reporting up as to what is happening on the service desk, because your chief operating officer is looking after service, it's looking after projects and various other aspects, right? So if they roll up that they've got a customer that's raising two or three issues, chief officer, chief exec are going to be all over it, making sure everything's okay, so that they're settled back down, ready for contract renewal in 6 months, 12 months or whenever. So, yeah, they're missing a trick, because they've set expectations, not met them. And that is horrendous. I like nice, clear set expectations. Do what you're going to do as well. There's that whole thing. Do what you say you're going to do. Yeah, I can feel myself shuddering inside.
This podcast is sponsored by MSP Games. Are you looking to grow your IT or cyber services business? Want to discover the newest, most fun way to generate high-quality leads for your technology business? Visit msp.games and join our next game. Learn, connect, and discover how you can grow your IT business and have fun at the same time. msp.games. Join the fun.
All right. So yeah, that's me kind of offloaded now onto someone else, which is good.
You'll feel next on Monday. I can see this call coming in saying, "Right, this is what we need to do. Let's get it sorted."
Nah, no one listens to this, so we're fine.
You need to call them and say, "Look, we need to get this sorted."
Yeah,
you know, you are sort of like also responsible. It's a two-party game. Contract, isn't it? Two-party game. So there's nothing stopping you ringing up saying, "Look, I'm a little bit grumbled. Let's get it sorted."
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm definitely doing that on Monday, so I will be giving them a shout. Yeah. Okay. What else are we going to talk about, Michelle?
Else are we going to talk about? Oh, crikey. I don't know. What else can we talk about?
There's tons of stuff.
Tons of stuff. Well, there is.
You told me in the form. You're like, "I don't need a grilling." So I was like, "Oh, okay." Because like I was.
Because you see, I like the general conversation ones, because otherwise you get short, sharp answers. You just get a specific answer to the question. Whereas conversational style, you just flow much easier. So I didn't want to be grilled, because then you'd have got like 3-word answers to all, and it'd have been very uncomfortable.
I do like to I like to ask difficult questions on purpose.
I don't mind a good difficult question. But...
Okay, so I'll give you one. So I used to be on your newsletter.
You did.
And this is coming from a marketing perspective. I'm like, you should always be in touch with your audience.
I'm so glad you've just said this question.
I do like asking these questions. You know what I'm going to say?
Can I put you back on my mailing list? Because I've literally just restarted it. I sent the first one back out a few weeks ago.
From my perspective, I've always been on it. I never left. Yeah, I never left.
Oh, you might be the one that's just called Scott. I'm not sharing the email address on this, but it's an unusual one.
It's an old one called. It's an old. I used to run a company back in 2006.
AB or something.
AB one.
Then I've got it. You're there. It started last month. So did you not read it?
The question is, why did you stop running the newsletter?
Because I got a bit busy, and it didn't seem as important. So that and the blog stopped. And then I changed my website, and then I never put my blog post back on. And I like to share educational content. I don't use newsletters for pitching, as you know, because you're a recipient of it. So past couple of months, I was like, right, I've got to restart my marketing content, my blogs. It's got to be redone. I've got to start emailing back out. I've got people from a marketing perspective. You would chuckle at this. So I didn't set up to go into marketing and sales, as most small business owners don't, right? So when I pulled together my list, I put everybody in my CRM from nobody all the way through to all my LinkedIn contacts. I was like, right, this is unmanageable. I wasn't mailing to them, to be clear. They were just in my CRM. Then I took them all out. then I gave up on it all. Okay. And then I thought, right, I've got to get more structured now because I can't take over the world if
I'm not structured. 000. Yeah. Have you got 35,000 people in your CRM?
No, we're not even 35,000. I don't think I've even got like 3,000 people in my CRM because I deleted it all and then restarted and then deleted it and then restarted it again.
Okay.
I think I'm there with my 108 people there. But if they find it useful, it's if that helps 108 people, that's my key thing, is just helping, sharing to help.
Yeah, and it's there. Okay,
yeah,
that's good. As I say, I do like to ask these difficult questions, and that's the only one that I'm aware of right now that's a difficult question.
Well, here you go. I'll extend on that even further. So obviously with this platform that I'm building, there's a number of skill sets that I don't have. So software development is one of them. Marketing is the other. Now, when it comes, I get by marketing, like my consultancy stuff. I get by. It's not awesome. It's not awful. It's kind of in between. So for Uprising, which is the name of the new platform, I've gone out and I've managed to get a couple of interns. So I've got a marketing intern starting next week, which will take so much off my plate. So as I don't like marketing very much, not that I don't like marketing very much, the fact that it's very time constraining, having to think of all this content-y stuff that you talk about, I'm going to give it to somebody else, but it's delegation, not abdication, to be clear.
Yeah. What does abdication mean?
Well, you just give up on it entirely and just let them deal with it.
All right. Okay. I wasn't aware of what that word meant. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How are you getting the platform built? Like, have you just like went to Upwork, or do you know developers? Like, how are you building that?
I'm thinking here. Now this is one that's put me on the spot because I'm like, am I ready to share this update or not?
The reason I'm asking is because I'm about to build a platform. It's not a platform. It's a tool, and I'm like, how do I get it built?
I can share the details with you once you've stopped recording, Scott. I'll tell you then. Okay. How's that? So there is something that I am working on. With a third party. I don't know how much I can share at this time publicly. So I need to be mindful of that one.
Shrouded in mystery. So that's a good marketing tactic, isn't it, actually? Because like you say, it's like, oh, it's top secret, but you can enter your email address on this website and I'll let you know once the secret's out.
No, there's no email address. It's only literally till I've got things finalized and signed, and then I think I can announce, but I don't think I can announce at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Right. But yeah, because I don't have that resource, I've had to go to a third party. That's the easiest way. Now, I did like look at a number of developers in the UK. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can take it down through. I looked at a number of developers in the UK. There were some awesome ones, believe me. There were some absolutely brilliant ones and some that I would absolutely look to work with. However, if you think of the budget, I couldn't sit on my chair. I think I fell off the chair twice when somebody was giving me a quote. It's extortionate. So I did consider no code, low code. I did consider sending off to Fiverr. I also considered finding a development party in India, so that I can get the lower cost hands. It could have been India, it could have been the Philippines, and I could have had a trip on business expense as well. But I found an alternative method, which is something for sharing later. But no email address, and I'll share none of that just yet.
All right, no, that's cool. And going back to 35,000.
350,000, Scott.
350,000. Yeah. Jeez. I want to get into the goal a little bit more. So you want to help them.
Yes.
How? How would you want to help them?
It could be absolutely anything. So IT related, to be clear, it's always got to be an IT related question. So if an IT person or somebody that's in the IT sector in some way, shape or form asks me a question that is related to the industry in some way, shape or form. And I'm able to answer them or point them in the right direction so that they can get help or help them in some other way. That's classed as a person helped.
Can you give me an example of someone you've helped recently and how you did that?
Oh, somebody I helped recently. Let me look through my list. Yes. So I was asked a question. I spent more time on this than my usual 5-minute favours because it was a time-consuming one. So I was working with somebody and I was trying to figure out what their goals were for the next 90 days. And they were struggling to understand it. So I spent some time with them to define what they wanted overall for their long-term goals. And we dragged that back to their annual goals. And then we took it down to the next 90 days. And in the end, they ended up walking away with a task list for every single day of the month of July.
And what they had to do.
And what they had to do on every single day of July. So you could literally see how the goal cascaded from massive goal from how they exited their business down to the individual steps they'd need to take. So there was a lot of backcasting.
What were like some of the steps they needed to take?
Hold on one second. I took a snip of their plan. I'm not sharing names.
No, I don't have
but
to.
But let's have a little look.
I'm just I'm trying to get into like the inner workings
of your
business. And,
so it's about managing and delivering a better service, really. Okay. What's that? Oh, that's a drawing of my, like a mock-up page. So some of the actions. So some of it. How much? I'm just having a look to see how much I can share of this. Right. How can I roll this up? There is my list that they have. Hey, you can't see it. It's very blurred.
And it's all blurred out.
So, for example, what they did was they set aside so much time per day. And literally, they'd have things like queries and invoice questions that they'd been asked they hadn't responded to. So that was on one day.
Okay.
The next day, it was about figuring out or contacting their clients that were currently pay-as-you-go and moving them to an MSP client. The next one was something about social posting about a specific thing. The next day was about setting tasking for their staff members. And things like that, it was literally everything that would drive them forward on their two goals of sorting their finances and sorting the finances to bring in more income and doing things like process reviews. So,
okay. Was there anything in regards to sales, like existing customers or like new customers?
Not for new customers on that.
No.
But you know that I do. When I get asked specific 5-minute favors, you know that I go, oh, actually, I can't answer this. Let me point you in the direction of Scotty Miller. That. And then there's a bunch of other names that I share. You know, okay. I send them to you where I can't answer.
But now I know the same for you. So like when people come to me with service
and
related
and stuff like that.
So it's like, Scott, you've got a terrible service. So I'll go, well, you should go and speak to Michelle. You'll get much better service there.
or she'll tell you how to manage the service for your customers. So you're not getting a terrible service.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. Have you got any stories for me?
Any stories? No, but I've got a joke.
Okay.
What do you call a fish in a bow tie?
Something to do with Botox, I don't know.
Oh, so fishticated.
Oh, very good. Excellent. I love that.
I don't have a sense of you. I had a really good one about a Mars bar and a hedgehog, but I really cannot remember that joke whatsoever.
Okay.
And if anybody knows the joke about the Mars bar and the hedgehog, please do share it because I'm trying to remember it and I can't.
I'm really bad at telling jokes. And I've been like doing this whole speaker thing. And like one of the things that I've like learned is like you need to actually have quite a few jokes in there to like keep the audience's attention. So I've like started to practice jokes on my wife, and like she's just not having it. So like, this is a really good test because I'm on the spot with you. So this is a good one. So the woman's in hospital. She's on her deathbed, and she goes up to heaven, and God says, "It's not your time to go yet. You've still got another 28 years. Just go back. You're fine." So she wakes up from a hospital bed, and she realizes, "Oh, I've got another 28 years to go here. What am I going to do? I'm going to go and get some liposuction, a facelift. I'm going to get my hair all done, you know, the boob job, all of that stuff." Anyway, she gets all this work done, and she walks out of the hospital, and she gets run over by an ambulance and killed. And anyway, she gets backed up to heaven. She's really pissed off with God. And she says, "God, I thought you told me I had 28 years left." And he's like, "Well, I didn't recognize you. Sorry." So that's the joke. You laugh. That's good.
I have a weird sense of humour. So remember, I've got a granddad with the prosthetic leg. So since he chopped his leg off with a lawnmower, so I'll often talk about granddad peg leg. And I actually call him granddad peg leg because he's got a prosthetic leg, and people just think that's just wrong.
I kind of like it.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets called peggers for sure.
Peggers, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think we should end it there, Michelle.
I think we should.
We'll end it on a high. How can people get in touch with you?
LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn. Okay. It's just /Michelle-Coombs or michelle@thetechleader.net.
All right, Michelle. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate your time and the interrogation at the start. All right, I'm going to stop recording now so you can tell me all about your software person or people. There you go.